This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
When it comes to shaping the prepper imagination, describing what the end of American civilization would look like, no author has been more influential than best-selling novelist and blogger James Wesley Rawls. His debut book, Patriots, secured a devout cult following and spawned a genre of prepper-oriented post-apocalyptic fiction. Slate staff writer Rebecca Onion stumbled upon Rawls' work a few years ago. Rebecca, welcome to OTM.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Rawls' seminal novel, Patriots. It's sort of Doomsday Preppers meets Walking Dead with maybe just a touch of the Turner Diaries. Is that about right?
Well, it's interesting because he very specifically calls himself not a racist. So he would contest at least that part of it. So the premise of the book is that there's an economic collapse. So his idea is that all of government is going to fall down.
The riots started soon after inflation bolted past the 1,000% mark. Detroit, New York, and Los Angeles were the first cities to see full-scale rioting and looting.
And the book is about a group of people who have thought this is going to happen for a long time and have gotten their place in Idaho ready for that eventuality.
When the Dow Jones average had slumped its first 1,900 points, Todgree made his mobilization calls to the six members of his retreat group still living in the Chicago area.
It's an extremely detailed book about everything they do, down to a million different lists of the kind of food they have, the medical supplies, the knives, the guns, all the different modifications they make to the property. It's all part of the narrative in a way that a sort of more standard literary book would not be able to support.
What's the story he's telling?
Okay, so the story is of a group of people who together come to believe and convince each other that this economic collapse is going to come about. And it's about the different ways that they put aside money and then use that money to buy their readout.
It had a low population density. It was more than 6 hours' drive from the nearest major metropolitan area, Seattle. The entire region had deep, rich topsoil and diverse agriculture.
And to arm themselves and to get the groceries and to basically just to create everything that they're going to need to create. But it's also about how they think about what kind of skills each person is going to need, how they parcel out between themselves what everyone's specialties are going to be. They make plans for how they're going to get from where they live to this place. So some of them are living there, and then some of them have detailed plans for how they're going to get the hell out of Dodge once everything goes down. Then it's about the collapse actually happening and them executing those plans.
They have to deal with the threats that they perceive, and they deal with them violently.
They do, and that is one of the major things that is hard for me in reading this genre of fiction. One of the sort of collective assumptions, I think, of all of the authors who write this stuff is that you will have to kill to defend your family.
How did things spiral this far out of control? So far gone that he found himself lying under a neighbor's playset in a blizzard, eagerly waiting to kill. He had to do it, for the good of the neighborhood and society in general, but most importantly, for the immediate safety of his family.
And that the difference between the people who will survive and thrive and the people who will not is the ability to do that. And it's a foreign idea to me.
Patriots has many of the trappings, as you mentioned, of mainstream post-apocalyptic fiction, the band of survivors working together to survive the socioeconomic apocalypse. But as you've alluded to, there are noteworthy differences. Least subtle is Rawls' style of storytelling.
Sure. The inventory passages, it's as though he knows that his readers will not only tolerate but kind of want to know what kind of, for example, knives people are considering buying. So he writes, for skinning knives, most of the members bought standard mass-produced case and buck knives.
But a few opted for custom knives made by Andy Sarcinella, Trinity Knives, and Ruana. Most of them also bought a Leatherman tool and a CRKT folding knife. Kevin bought an expensive new Lyle Gray Ghost with Micarta grip panels. Against Kevin's advice, Dan Fong bought a double-edged Sykes Fairbairn British commando knife.
Kevin warned him it was an inferior design. He preferred knives that could be used for both utility purposes and for combat. And of course, Kevin turns out to be right. I think of it as like a gearhead approach to fiction.
Give me an example of quintessential post-apocalyptic fiction that is not quintessential prepper fiction.
Well, there's something like the book The Sheep Look Up by John Brunner, which will hurt your heart right now. Lucifer's Hammer, which is about a comet. But then more recently, there have been a number of ones that people are probably familiar with, like California by Eden Lapucki, or Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel, which is the one that I've seen everyone talking about recently. That's about a pandemic. These are not stories of people who are prepared for what happens to them in any way. And in fact, often the story is about their woeful underpreparedness and they're coming to terms with their underpreparedness. There's also just not that many lists in them. A major plot difference that I would see between more mainstream post-apocalyptic literary fiction and prepper fiction is in the former, you've got people who are sort of everyman, every woman coming to terms with what is happening, some big event that has happened. And there's always a period of denial where they're sort of wondering if maybe the government will come to help them. In the Walking Dead TV series, they're going to the CDC in the first season. And then when they get to the CDC.
Welcome to Zone 5.
Where is everybody? The other doctors, the staff.
No one is there, and it's just a mess.
It's just me here. I'm all that's left.
Whereas in prepper fiction, it starts with the protagonist already knowing all of that from the beginning, having done a lot of reading, having done a lot of sort of social theorizing, and basically the horrible event that happens that tosses everyone into chaos is their time to start using all that stuff. So the plot unfolds with them pulling knowledge out of their metaphorical rucksack to apply to this situation, satisfied that they knew what to prepare for.
Look, it's easy to be dismissive of this genre, even to ridicule it. But you think that prepper fiction is nothing to look down on, that it, quote, reveals dark truths about American virtues. What does that mean?
Well, first of all, I think that it's always a good thing to do to have a better understanding of what the material underpinnings of your life are. I mean, the security stuff aside, with the guns and the defensiveness against other people, which they would say, oh, you can never put that aside. But putting that aside, just like having an understanding of where your water comes from, an understanding of what the growing seasons are like in your area, all of that stuff is stuff that reading this kind of book made me think more about. And it also makes me think more about what I would be willing to do to help other people in a situation like this if I had more than them, who I would ask for help if I had less, what the social configuration would be like in a situation like this. Now, would I necessarily hew to everything that these authors are arguing in terms of the morality of everything? I don't know if I would be that kind of person, but having thought about it is better than not having thought about it, even if it does make me anxious.
You've been just completely sucked into this genre. How can you not at this stage be sitting in your apartment with your AK-47 locked and loaded, ready to protect home and hearth?
You don't know that I'm not, Bob. One of the things about prepping, you don't tell people what you've got.
Rebecca, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Rebecca Onion is a staff writer at Slate.
Coming up, are there lessons to be learned from the government and media response to Katrina that could be applied to this national emergency?
This is On the Media.